Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Dancing with the Stars finalist, Fair City star, Johnny Ward joins us in the studio. Good afternoon, Johnny.
Ray, how are you doing? Thank you so much for having me on.
Good. Now, we have to get this out of the way, because every time we meet, I say to you, and you say...
I knew this was coming.
You say, do you have to tell everybody? And I say, yes, I do. Because it's part of my life, it's part of your life.
And it's 30 years ago.
Is it 30 years ago?
It must be. I'm 38 now.
Yes. Yeah. I think you were 6 or 7.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably more so. So
and there was a thing on the Den, and it was called Talent on the Telly.
The T-E-L-E.
There you go. Yes. Viewers to the Den used to come in and do their party piece. That was it, wasn't it, Johnny? And,
yes.
And you, and I think your sister came in with you, I'm not
That's
too
right.
sure.
Yeah.
And we'd record it, and Ron Johnson would play the piano, and people would sing, dance, and all that sort of thing. And you did both. You were the double threat at the time. Now you're the triple.
Yeah,
threat.
Well, you know what? It was that song that I sang, I'm Getting Married in the Morning.
Yes.
And I remember
at
that.
At the age of 7.
At the age of 7. I wasn't thinking then. And then I remember it was like, you're a star, and I'd seen you at that, and you did it then.
Yeah.
Then I was on your show, the Ray D'Arcy Show, and every time we meet now, and I think the last time I was in
I'm getting married in the morning.
I'm getting married in the morning. Yeah, it's mad.
Have you still got the tape? Did I ask you that question every time?
100%. Like, yes. My mother would keep all those VCRs, and I got great pleasure in singing it the night before my wedding outside the church, so there you go.
And she is so proud of you, your mother, Cathy.
Ah, she really is. She really is, yeah. Always has been, yeah.
Yeah, and she, was she... Did she sort of guide you, or was she living her life through you? Was she a sort of a singing, dancing person?
You know what? Massively, I think so. I just remember from the age of 3 or 4, you know, we were always put into singing, dancing and drama classes. And then, you know, every year without fail, we would audition for the toy show, and anything that came up, you know, with RTE, you know, like the Den TV, Den 2 and... Talent on the Telly, you know, we were always in for it. So she was an amazing mother. Anything, I suppose, the big break I got as a child was when I was cast as Gavroche in Les Miserables with Colin Wilkinson on the point. You know, my mother doesn't drive or anything. Without fail, she would bring me in and out, and the trek that she had to do, God love her every day. She wasn't too well back then either. But
What was it? She on the bus? Was it a bus?
On the bus. Getting the 77A at the top at the Green Hills Road, going in to Central Bank, walking all the way up to, you know, the Three Arena, the Point Up, and then doing it all the way back as well, and then collecting me as well. No, amazing woman.
Yeah. And what age were you when you did that?
I would have been, I'm weird with memory. So it was the 25th of February to the 15th of May 1999. I was 11 years of age.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
And would there have been more than one of you? As in, is that the way they have to do it when they're casting children?
There was myself and another guy called Miles. It was kind of half and half.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So your mum, Cathy, and the reason you're here today is because of Cathy.
Yeah, well, yeah. I suppose I'm here. I'm delighted to be here. And thank you so much for having me on, as well as your production team. I'm here to talk about a very vital partnership that has been set up by Lidl Ireland and Family Carers Ireland. Initially, when I was asked to be the ambassador, I'm very, very, you know, blessed. I originally declined because I never sort of saw myself as a carer. And then when I looked at some of the statistics where you hear about, you know, 2/3 of overall carers not recognising themselves or identifying as carers because they just see it as their responsibility. And another statistic that really stuck me, Ray, was that we know that due to statistics, there's 500,000 carers nationwide. However, that number is a lot lower than the actual amount of carers. Why is that? It's down to a lack of self-identification, because having the ability to self-identify as a carer is still a significant challenge
let's,
for
let's
so many
talk
people.
About your story, and we'll get back then to, to Lidl and the ambassador role that you're playing and all that.
Okay.
So, Cathy, you mentioned Cathy was sick when you were 11.
I mean, nothing like that.
But then your dad died, and people remember that, and that was like, must have been so tough.
You know what?
So you were in Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, and you know what? It's no secret that my father died on the 2nd of March 2019 while I was doing Dancing with the Stars. One promise my father made me keep him was that regardless of what happened to him and his health, that, you know, the show must go on. And I would continue doing Dancing with the Stars. And that's what I did. However, 4 or 5 weeks after his death and Dancing with the Stars had finished, I felt like my whole family, including my mother, had kind of gone through this marathon of grief, devastation and pure depression. But they were all kind of, they'd run that marathon. Whereas when Dancing with the Stars had finished, I felt very on my own, very isolated. And here we go, we have to do this. Now the grief starts. I've been postponing it and dancing in a kind of therapeutic way. But I remember just not being very much in the present moment and constantly bringing my mother to these doctor appointments and hospital appointments as well. And cut a long story short, one day she came out and she was diagnosed with something called tachycardiomyopathy. Now, when I hear that, it sounds like a character out of Street Fighter too, right? But tachycardiomyopathy, I thought, look, I'll Google that. And it translates to broken heart syndrome. And I just thought, and very sort of selfishly, I didn't take it as seriously as what I should have done. I just thought, look, it's broken heart syndrome. It's the up and downs of grieving. I get it. We're all going through that. Fine. But a few weeks later, Ray, she had a minor heart attack. Then she was constantly fainting, collapsing. I was getting phone calls from my neighbours saying, where are you? Where are you? Your mother is after collapsing at a bus stop. Please come home. The final straw for me was when she had a stroke. It was a no-brainer for me to move back into the family house then in Walkinstown.
And they were so tight, were they, your mum and dad? Were they?
Yeah, they would have done. I mean, the fact that, he would have always been the one doing the driving when he couldn't. And they were very, very close. They had an incredible understanding that you probably don't understand until he's not there anymore. Yeah, you know, that kind of way. So this is
I'm just going to go back to the broken heart thing.
Yeah.
So this is a physical manifestation of a psychological thing.
Yeah, yeah. Which I couldn't really at the time comprehend. And as I said to you, I just thought, I suppose being very ignorant towards the whole thing and being quite selfish, thinking, it's grieving. We're all gone through it. And poor me, you know, they all got to grieve and I was doing this.
Yeah, and I know Cathy is listening now. So you will have had all these conversations with her.
Oh, yeah.
So because we don't want to upset.
No, absolutely.
Your
mum. Yeah. My mum, you know, she's well aware of everything and why I'm doing this and being asked to be the ambassador. And she was just like, listen, if my story or your story, you know, if someone can relate to it and it helps someone out there or carer out there to go, well, I'm actually entitled to these things. Well, yeah, okay. So be it.
So Cathy was living on her own?
Yeah.
You were living somewhere else.
Then through lockdown, when she had that stroke, it was a no-brainer. I moved back in. And there's a lot of ups and downs with that. The ups being, well, I hadn't seen her a long time because of, you know, lockdown. You couldn't spend this time with your loved ones. And also we have so much in common. We have VHS, we'd be looking at, there you go, Den TV and the talent on the telly. And we always used to go up to Mosney Holiday Centre every summer. And we'd be looking at those VHS. We've got the same interest in music. She's a massive Johnny Cash fan. I'm named after Johnny Cash. All of that. Now, the downsides are you have to get used. And when I say you, I'm talking about myself as well. But as a carer, you have to get used to a schedule of inconsistency. You have to get used to breaking promises. You have to get used to cancelling holidays, cancelling weddings, all that kind of stuff. Then when you do get away for, let's just say, a day or two, there's such an emotional impact and it plays games with you. And you're thinking to yourself, let's just say you have someone to cover your shift, like my auntie or something like that. You're thinking, but what, she doesn't know that she doesn't like sugar in her tea. And she doesn't know that last weekend she actually had a brilliant time. She didn't need to use the stair lift. She was able to actually walk up very slowly, but surely up the stairs on her own. She's not going to like the fact that now her dignity is just thrown away and she's kind of thrown into a stairlift. It's all of those things that add up.
Mm.
And speaking about that, like emotional impact of caring, you know, statistics have shown as well, Ray, 70% of all carers in the country have come out and said that they feel emotionally overwhelmed, completely burned out. 2/3 don't even relate as carers. They think it's their, you know, mere responsibility to just do the right thing as their son and daughter. And the one I think that's most worrying is 83% of carers in the country have come out and said that they find their tasks to, you know, really intensify in the next 15 years. So the reason why I am here today, Lidl have recognised all of this and Lidl Ireland have gone into partnership with Family Carers Ireland. Today is a very special day. I know you look outside the window there and it's a miserable day. But today being Thursday, the 12th of June, is Heart of Gold Day. You can see I'm wearing one of these.
Yes, and they're on sale in all Lidl's.
In all Lidl's,
country.
Yeah. So for the entire month of June, Lidl are shining a light on Ireland's family carers with the launch of the We Care Back campaign. It's heavily advertised on the TV at the moment. And as part of their initial commitment to raise €1 million within the next 3 years, Lidl are selling these Heart of Gold pins in all 187 stores nationwide across June, and all funds raised will provide meaningful, practical support to family carers across the country. And Family Carers Ireland, just really quick, right? They are an amazing service, a fantastic organisation, and they provide free supports and services such as emergency care planning, counselling, emergency respite and respite provision, and information about rights and entitlements. When I tell you about my own story, you know, like I said, the location, Talla Hospital, St James's Hospital, I've neighbours, detached houses, all that kind of stuff. What about those people down, let's just say the west of Ireland? It's not a hospital in sight. You know, neighbours are 2K down the road, you know, and it's an amazing organisation, and I'm just delighted once again to be a part of it.
How is Cathy now?
At the moment, if someone had told us, you know, let's just say 5 years ago that we're playing the waiting game. But the waiting game is the best way to be, because what I've learned in the last sort of 4.5 years, July 2024, her health deteriorated. She was diagnosed with cancer, and unfortunately one thing led to another. Cancer was situated in her duodenum. When they, St Vincent's Hospital across the road, operated on it, it was stage 4. They had to take a large part of her pancreas out, a large part of her bowel and her gallbladder. One thing led to another, and it wasn't good. We feared the worst, and the worst phone call ever happened. I remember one day she was doing really good, and she just asked myself and my wife Brenda, please will you go back to Kilcullen? She asked my auntie to go back to Galway. I'm fine, please leave me. We left her. By the time we got back to Kilcullen, which is about an hour and 50 minute drive, we got a phone call from one of the nurses in Vincent's Hospital saying that she was currently unresponsive and they couldn't bring her back. It's the worst phone call that you can ever receive, and time is not on your side, and still I don't know what I would have done unless my wife Brenda had been with me. It was just looking at the clock and constantly trying to ring them back. She'd been transferred over to the cardiology department in the hospital, and then it was just one thing led to another. It just kept getting, it was one step forward, two steps back. Then she got COVID, then she refused to eat. She was on a feeding tube for a long time. And I just remember going in every single day into Vincent's and just going into the artery and just praying away, and everyone else was. And then I think the final straw was when she sort of had a fall. When she was moved from Vincent's, and Vincent's Hospital, James's Hospital, all the nurses, they were absolutely incredible. And then she was transferred over to Mount St. Carmel. That's when she started to improve with her convalescent care. And she was in the hospital from August until January of just gone. So pretty much the best part of 6 months. At the moment, we're playing the waiting game. We were told that we're waiting back on tests. And at the moment, like, something that's shown up, it's too small to tell. So we'll know in the next sort of...
And do you see her every day, Johnny?
No, I don't. No. And that's what I used to do. Right. One of the ups of all of this is myself and my mother go to a philosophy class on a Monday. Something, you see, she's never lost her wit and her cheek. And she signed me up for it. It's the best thing that we've ever done. And one thing I've really learned is... You know, and that's what I was saying. If someone had given us this news about 5 years ago, I would be dreading every single day. Let go of the past. Past is done. Stop worrying about the future and focus on the
present.
Present, because little things that you celebrate in the hospital, like, oh my God, she's gone, let's just say, to the toilet all by herself. It's brilliant. And you just, you know, you have to be grateful for every single minute.
So you go to philosophy classes?
Every Monday.
Right.
Yeah, every Monday without fail. And this was after the stroke. A stroke therapist had said, listen, we can get you on board with all these things, you know, like a widow's kind of committee or whatever, and do bowls or darts. She was like, oh no, I don't want to do that, philosophy. And she also goes to another place in Rathmines called Gateway, and Gateway have just been absolutely...
What do they do?
So they would do, they would look, they would do creative writing classes, art classes. She was in a musical a few years back, and they will pretty much, I suppose, facilitate for absolutely everyone who, I suppose, has grieved or would have, you know, mental health difficulties. And they all come together and they put on productions. They have just a fantastic bunch of people. But the philosophy, you know, she got me to give her a lift one day, and that was it. And then she signed me up for the course, and I found it's really, really helped me. All it is really the lady, Ciara Kinley, who runs the classes, is just phenomenal. And it's been instrumental in, I suppose, diluting the blow that myself and my mother were kind of hit with the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Just reminds you of the simple tools that we have but don't use.
This happened to my father-in-law. He and my mother-in-law were yin and yang. They never went anywhere without each other, and had been married for 50 years when she eventually died of lung cancer. He was broken-hearted, tears constantly streaming from him silently. He passed away 6 weeks later. Jerry, thanks to Johnny for highlighting family carers. I'm so tired and wonder, will I ever have a life of my own? Even when I get a break, I'm left feeling guilty, as Johnny described. No escape. In some countries, what they do is they send people who are carers off to do this special course designed for people who are carers in everything but name. They get the qualification and then they're paid a carer's rate, which to me sounds like a brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm just thinking of that thing, and I was just thinking of that first comment there. Yeah. And the first thing I thought of there was just so many people that I know like that with, you know, with that relationship. And 6 weeks afterwards, as that gentleman was saying, you know, yeah. And it's very reminiscent of other people. Johnny Cash, June Carter Cash as well. Exact right. Same thing happened, you know, but very much. Yeah. Sorry.
So you're called after Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And what you'd sit down and listen to.
Well, oh, non-stop.
On like, vinyl, or would you stream it?
Oh, vinyl, yeah, yeah. Vinyl, stream it all the time. You know, Sunday Morning Coming Down is, you know, one of my mum's favourite songs, and right. She's got just loads and loads of other, you know, Johnny Cash things all
so,
over.
So that'd be the song you'd play for if you had your own radio show?
I think if I had my own radio show, my mum would love, because it's her ringtone now. She actually made me download Zedge there the other day and put Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe. That was her and my father's
right,
song.
Right.
And she loves
well,
it.
That's a great song.
It is a brilliant song. And it's very reminiscent of Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Remember the film with Bill Murray?
Yeah. Now, I'm going to remind people that when they're in Lidl's now, they can buy the little heart, the heart of gold. And by doing so, they will support Family Carers Ireland, who provide invaluable assistance to family carers all over the country.
Yes.
So we're saying you're still in Fair City.
In prison. Yeah. They kind of have me now with us. So the latest kind of thing to happen was Tyler Munro had gone to prison for all that he had done. And Mark Halpin as well, you know, he was put in prison for the murder of his sister, Laura, you know, and it was a storyline that everyone was, who killed Laura? So now anytime someone goes to prison, you know, it's kind of like Arkham Asylum. I'll just kind of be lurking in the background and threatening them and stuff, you know.
And the Little Shop of Horrors, that's a fun thing to be in, isn't
oh,
it?
I can't wait. I really can't wait. Yeah.
And then it's you, it's your triple threat, the singing, dancing and the acting.
Ah, look, I'll revolute to that 50 quid for saying that now, Ray. But I'll revolute to that 50 quid now. No, listen, do you know what it is? As an actor, I always think it's important to take a different exit on the roundabout and, you know, do your gangland drama or your adverts and your musicals and stuff. But this is something, as soon as I heard that Borgosh and Theatre Works were doing, you know, I have to be seen for this. So
now, I know that you practice your lines for Fair City with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be practicing your lines for her?
Oh, she already
musical.
Knows them.
Little Shop of Horrors.
So she knows them from the audition scenes.
Oh, does she?
That'll never change. And that was one thing for me, you know, with Love Hate. My father always used to do that. And that was a big thing of, right, who's going to do the lines now? My mother straight away stepped up. Not a bother on her, yeah. So she knows, and she does all the accents and everything. And one thing about any self-tape that I will send, you know, to...
So these are auditions that you record yourself doing and send them off?
Yeah, so my agent, Thomas Sullivan, he'll come in and go, right, oh, someone wants to see you there for this. I need it in before 12 o'clock. And, you know, a lot of the time I'll be with my mother, so she will always do the self-tape with me and record. And I'll send it back to Tom, and he'll go, oh, yeah, that's great. And anytime I show it to my mother-in-law, Marion, she just looks at it and doesn't even look at me. And she always goes, oh God, your mother's great, isn't she? Isn't she fantastic? I was like, will you look at me? You can only see my mother's voice. Oh, she's got great diction. She's fantastic. So.
And there's an increasing number of parts coming out. Like we were watching Mobland, which would probably be back for a second series. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be something you'd... might try out for.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to get real hung up of, oh God, I need to be seen for this or I need to be seen for that and stuff like that. I just let it go. What's for you on pass?
Yeah.
And now and again, you do get a really, really, you know, you get a really good feeling about something. There's a show that's coming out on Amazon Prime called Sugar. And myself and another Irish actor, Robbie Walsh, we are playing these two Irish gangland criminals again. So that's going to be out on Amazon Prime in September, and that's brilliant. I had a really good feeling about that. But regarding, look, you're just going back and you're saying, oh, this thing's coming, you know, as soon as I saw Little Shop of Horrors was coming, I just need to be a part of that. So just delighted to be
you looking very healthy, and we're going to play Cathy's favourite song.
I should be over the moon with you. She really is. I hope you're happy with that moment.
I'm well known and been an ambassador for this. It's raising funds for a really important cause. Johnny Ward, thank you very
so much.
Ray. We'll take a commercial break and then a little bit of Sonny and Cher.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.